back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Julio Jones is worth a 2 and a 3. It wouldn't shock me to see him something close to that. I would say Gilmore ranks in the cornerback pantheon around the same place as Julio Jones does right now. Jones is 2 years older. There'd be good value. I just don't know if a team would be willing to give up a first right now. But, you know, I would probably say like a 2 and another pick, maybe a 2 and a 4, 2 and a 3, something like that.
That was Jeremy Fowler on with Ken and Curtis about a week ago talking about the potential value of Stephon Gilmore. This is hour number 3 of Gresh and Keefe. Gresh off today. Rob Bradford is in. And the latest, it's making the rounds on the old internet. As you know, once a story comes up, it ends up on every single site.
It's amazing how the internet works.
You got to find out who had it originally. So we'll give credit here to Burt Breer, SI.com, saying as it relates to Stephon Gilmore and the New England Patriots, no recent progress on extension. Do you think something gets done before camp, which, by the way, starts a week from Wednesday?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Do you?
I don't. Not by one. No. Week one, I think maybe. But camp is
creeping up here. Let's go.
Camp. Let's go. We're almost there. Getting all the camp stories. Wait, top 5 camp stories.
Position battles. Position battles.
Quarterback.
Yeah, that's one.
N'Keal Harry.
Is that what position trade battle?
No, it was a team battle. He's fighting the team.
Was like, again, to go back to N'Keal Harry, like demanding a trade. And then the news that he's showing up to camp.
That was one of my favorite stories
Our guy Jim Hackett said this. It's like Greg McMurtry, who's like a random first-round pick who's terrible, saying, oh, yeah, we're demanding. Okay, who cares?
I want out.
Great.
I want out.
Super. Right. It's like Blake Swihart when Blake Swihart demanded a trade.
He did. That's a good one. Yeah. I forgot. Because I maintain that N'Keal Harry might be the worst player
to officially demand a trade. Blake Swihart.
Swihart's a good one, though. But they also jerked him around. They're like, he's a great hitting catcher, so we'll put him in left field.
Wait a minute, now he's just
an average left fielder.
They had higher expectations for Blake Swihart than N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, they thought he was Buster Posey.
Yeah. Well, it's still time.
It's still time. Buster Posey's having a nice little resurgence.
So, N'Keal Harry, super storylines. But the camp is right around the corner.
Yeah.
They don't get it done. And I think that Belichick looks at it this way. We don't need him. And here's my very unpopular take.
He'd be wrong.
Here's my unpopular take on Stephon Gilmore.
All right.
Do you remember how bad he was last year? Before he got hurt?
He was not that bad. I got on him early. He had a few pass interference penalties. He wasn't a shutdown corner early. And then he had COVID. And then he came back and he
looked
like himself.
Don't we have some poof ratings or something like that?
Poof ratings?
Some poof ratings.
You're looking for a shine.
Yeah, this is where the two best in the business back there.
Gilmore is still a
Where did he rate last year?
Okay.
Like DVOA? I don't think they do specific player DVOA, but overall he was good. He wasn't nearly as good as he had been, you know,
was
the
he
years
average?
Prior.
No,
but
the year before, he was defensive,
yeah,
player,
defensive
of the
player of the year.
Yeah, and ESPN still ranks him in the top four.
The fourth best corner.
Right now, and I think they might be misguided. It's because if you look at last year, he got burnt a lot last year before he got hurt. And
I don't know if he got burnt a lot. He had a few passes. He was not good early in the year, but then he rounded into form.
The Patriots' way of doing things, how Belichick has made a living, is to get out from guys a little bit too early rather than a little bit too late. Correct? Correct?
That's true.
Other than Thomas Brady. Correct.
He kind of missed that one a little bit.
Although some people thought he wanted to. But with Gilmore, it's we can make do without him. I don't think Belichick's sitting there, we must sign Gilmore.
All right, let me ask you this. Why didn't they trade him at the deadline last year or the offseason this year?
That's a good question. Yeah. Maybe because they're just assuming that he's going to come back. Say, hey, listen, the ball is in our court. You're going to come back. You got no other options.
I just think if they didn't load up like they did this offseason, then I'd normally be with you. And I would say, all right, you're probably going to move on from him. But they went out. They spent a ton of money overall, a lot of money on defense. And I think having a true number one corner in today's NFL is as important as it is. And there aren't a lot of them.
Okay. Conversely, devil's advocate, Rich.
Okay.
What if you say, oh, you know what? We make up for the we'll make up for whatever corners out there because now you have Judon. Now you have Uche. Now you have these other pass rushers, and you don't have to have as good as corners.
So I get that if you have a good pass rush, the corners don't need to be as
dominant.
You said
that with a tone of someone saying, I like you personally.
I know. Well, I just think that it's, okay, in theory, you're right. If you have a better pass rush, those guys don't have to, you know, cover as long, and it just makes their job easier. True. But if you also have somebody as good as Gilmore, that's what kind of leads into having the type of season he had in 2019, because they did have a complete defense, and then you have him, and then it just slots everybody else in better. J.C. Jackson, I think, will get exposed if he's the true number one.
Yes.
And then,
like he did last year, by the way.
Yes, right, exactly. Like, so he'll get a bunch of picks, and that's great. But every team now has stud wide receivers outside the Patriots, which we'll get to. But the their schedule, like, you look at they had obviously Diggs twice, and you know Devontae Parker twice,
the images that I have from last year, where we said that okay, Gilmore is going to lock up with Diggs when Diggs goes to Buffalo. Gilmore is going to lock up with Diggs. And then again, sad trombone.
Yeah.
It's like, and you know, Parker, whoever. And all I'm saying, I fully understand, Rich, the importance of a top-notch corner. But all I'm saying, I'm looking from Bill Belichick's point of view of the, oh, we'll get by. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out.
So
the
balls, we
have all the power.
But before he started the year, then he was out for a little bit, then he came back, and then he was out again. That second time, I believe, my memory's crap, but I think he looked like an all-pro again.
He did not.
It was like Keenan
Your
Allen.
Memory is crap.
Shime, back me up on that? Wasn't it against, like, Arizona and the two L.A. teams? Like, he looked like himself again?
Yeah, I mean, he looked like himself midway through the season, but, I mean, he didn't look like all-pro level, but he looked better.
I feel like he got torched on a couple plays against Arizona.
So the PFF grade he had for the season was 61. They have him ranked as their sixth best corner going into this season.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd say that's pretty good. I mean, the top corner graded out at 90 last year. He was rated at 61, which is like right around average.
So I don't know if he was on them all game, but when they played Arizona, DeAndre Hopkins only had 5 catches for 55 yards. That's not like a typical.
I'd say that's pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah, I would say so. And I believe he like almost shut out
Keenan
Allen.
Was against Miami?
He almost goosed Keenan Allen.
Was against Miami?
What, the last game of the season prior?
Listen, I'm not, don't get me wrong, and I don't want Mrs. Gilmore also going at me on Twitter like she did with Andy Hart.
Well, it happens, you know.
Fine, you can call in. I really pick my battles on Twitter, like, because it's a big time suck. I don't want to go back and forth. I just don't want
to
do it.
I usually limit it to one.
One a year?
No. One, like, so say somebody says, say I tweet something, and then somebody says something like, you're this, and here's why you're wrong. And then I'll say, correct it, and then that's it. And if they keep going, they're like, oh, that's it. I'm done. But if I can't end it in one, then it's not worth doing.
Yeah, it's just such a time suck. Ugh. It's like, it's not useless. Worth it. Yeah, it is useless.
It's not productive.
It's like talking politics. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but I want to say to the Gilmore family, Stephon Gilmore is a very good cornerback. All I'm saying is that Bill Belichick, because, listen, nobody knows Bill Belichick like me.
Right.
And I can tell you.
We've always said that.
Maybe he's just thinking, hey, you know what? Ball's in our court. We're good. We can get by. It's okay.
All right. Would you, if he just wants a bump in pay this year like he did last year, I'm all for it.
Because they were deferring all that money before.
Yeah, they just moved it up a little bit. Whatever. Yeah. So if he's only making $7 million this year. And I know his cap hit's higher, but what does he care about a cap hit? Like, that's for the team to figure out. He himself is making $7 million. And even if you don't think he's the best corner, he's worth more than $7 million. So if he just wants more for this year, I give it to him. But if some of these other reports are true that he wants Darius Slay contract or he wants 3-plus years at big money, think so, because I think there's a real chance that this will be his last great year.
There's no question. I mean, this is, once again, this comes back to, are you getting out from a guy too early, or a little too early, rather than a little too late? And I agree with you. Anytime you talk about these sort of contracts or these deals, you have to, the number one thing is that how will it impact you building the other parts of the team, right? Yeah, Brady, that was part of the equation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so If he wants a long-term deal, or if he wants a deal going beyond, no, that's not what we're talking about. If he wants a little bit of bump to make him happy, that it's not going to impact what you're doing on the field with other guys, then fine. Go.
So if he says, I want a 3-year deal,
I'm not giving him a 3-year deal.
All right, so then you have two choices. You can say, no, you have to play for this. You draft if he blinks.
You draft a cornerback in the second round.
That's the other part of it.
Because that's worked out really well.
No, but they also, they could have drafted one in the first round this year. If they were really dead set on moving on from Gilmore, they could have put more pressure on it. They addressed all these other positions. I think they do need Gilmore because they're going to have to win more games on defense than offense anyway. They're going to.
Once again, conversely, maybe they think they could already win on defense without Gilmore.
Maybe
sold out,
and then I think they'll be in for a rude awakening. Would be my guess. But you could do two things: you could either force him to play because he technically is under contract for this year, and if he doesn't show up, he's going to get fined a lot. He's going to end up losing a ton of money, right? So this fight for more money, you're actually going to have to pay the Patriots to sit out, or you flip him. Like at this point, would you trade him for future like second round picks? To me, I wouldn't.
Well, what was the Fowler? He said a second and a fourth?
Like a two and a four. Cause is that what Julio Jones
first of all, no. I don't know if that's actually realistic. Is it?
You don't think they get a two and a four?
You think Stephon Gilmore has the same value as Julio Jones?
I think you get a two and a conditional pick, if I had to guess.
If he's like healthy or something. Yeah, because I think there are teams like Dallas or some of these really defensive needing teams that they feel
Atlanta,
like they're close.
Dallas.
Yeah.
They need cornerback
they
help.
Well,
desperately.
Well, and there's not a lot of good corners in the league.
The other part about this for the Patriots is that you want him on the 1 year deal because you want him playing for a contract, right?
Yeah, this
is another huge, huge part of this is that I don't want him on a 3 year deal for multiple reasons. So if he's not going to show up, then fine, flip him for a second. I don't care. And your conditional pitch time.
Yeah, it's just for time played, probably, and if they make the playoffs, right? So it's like it'd be like a two and a six, but like if he plays all 16 games, it becomes a five, and if they make the playoffs, it becomes a four.
I like how you laid that out very specifically. That was very good.
Yeah, I think the max value you can get is a two and a four. So I think a two and a conditional sounds about right.
See, to me, a little semantics here, max value is with him on the field.
Okay.
And I'm not even
on a 1 year deal.
On a 1 year deal.
Yeah, I agree with
that. And that's why when he had that whole thing, remember he talked to Tristina Anderson and she started putting out all these tweets and you're like, here we go. I can't imagine the Patriots love that. But he put all the stuff, he wants to get paid what he's worth. But he also did mention something about common ground. So even if his goal is 3 years and they're like, no, and they're like, we're paying you seven and you should actually just come play for the seven, then maybe that's where they bump it up. They double it even. Play for 14 this year, and then guess what? You're a free agent next year. Somebody might stupidly give you a long-term deal.
You mentioned that. It interests me that when his interview with Jacina Anderson, him tweeting all this stuff, has this changed in the world of the Patriots world, Patriotsdom, you know, where you have, where before it wasn't even thought of. You would never do this. You would never take to social media. And now you have guys, it's not only with Gilmore, it's other guys who are talking a lot more, feeling a little bit more free. Is this an understanding? Is this a post-Brady dynamic, do you think?
See, I know, like, was it Ted Johnson that came out with some of that talk about, Brady's gone and now it's like the Wild West?
Yeah,
like,
well,
I don't really see it that way.
No, because
Gilmore is one of the best players at his position. N'Keal Harry is a first-round bust. So these are two different guys that have different demands right now, right? One,
they sure do.
Gilmore doesn't want to leave. Gilmore wants more money here.
Right.
But he kind of understands that he needs to maximize. He's only going to get one more contract. He's a 30-year-old cornerback.
Yeah, I don't blame him for asking for it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a Brady thing. I could be wrong. And again, maybe people think. So if Brady was on the team, you think Gilmore would play for $7 million? Because I don't.
Well, okay, let's play that game. If Brady's on the team, the Patriots hold more of the cards, right?
Because
we don't need a cornerback. We have Tom Brady.
Right.
And I know that they don't play the same.
But let me ask you this. When Tom Brady was here, did Logan Mankins hold out? Yes, he did.
Did he take to social media?
Well, I don't think Logan Mankins would, but he took to 11 weeks of the season or whatever it was.
I think he did a show once. It was right around Christmas. He said, what's your favorite Christmas gift? He's like, when I was a kid, I got a chainsaw.
Sounds about right. Checks out for Logan Mankins. Yeah, but so there have been contract disputes when Tom Brady was on the team. And because I know one of the comparisons was like, well, Tom Brady didn't like max out his money. I don't even know if Stephon Gilmore is asking for $20 million. He might only be asking for $15 million. And I think he still would. Rob Gronkowski had contract issues here. They tried trading him, and then he played for incentives. And that was with Brady.
Yeah, and he communicated through his family.
Right, he had the joint statement with his dad and the team.
So bizarre.
So all that stuff was with Brady.
Right.
So people making it sound like, oh, N'Keal Harry wouldn't ask for a trade. It's like, Why? In fact, with Brady, you might ask for one last year.
Gil wouldn't throw to him. The N'Keal Harry asking for a trade thing.
It's the best thing.
Oh, my goodness. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, honestly, these guys get such bad advice.
Yeah. But, who's more likely to get traded, Gilmore or Harry?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be Harry. I don't think they want to do it right away. They probably want to make him sweat, but they also don't want him.
How much time do you think that Bill Belichick wasted on thinking about N'Keal Harry's trade demand? Zero. That's the answer.
0 seconds.
Zero. Like,
oh, well, however long it took him to laugh about hearing that he wanted to be traded.
You know when he was doing the interviews on, he did the interviews on OMF while eating sandwiches?
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what he was doing. He's typing away on something. Yeah. What? N'Keal Harry? We're good.
We'll work on that. The big difference is there are probably 30 teams in the NFL that would offer you at least something for Gilmore. Well, I don't know if anybody would offer anything for N'Keal Harry. Like, you're just going to cut him. We'll take him then.
So let's say Gilmore comes back.
Yep.
And this is a very easy.
It's a perfect world.
In a perfect world.
Right.
He comes back and he plays for free. He says, you know what? I like it so much. I'm playing for free. Mm-hmm. Don't even worry. You know what I said before? I'll pay you.
Yeah.
The great game of football.
Uh-huh.
How much? What's the swing and wins for Gilmore on the team and off the team?
Well, it's probably only like one or two tops.
All right,
right?
So there you go. You just answered your question.
But no, I didn't, because what if that's a playoff game? And that's where I think it's going to be. Like, so, for example, you look right now at the teams that they're probably going to have to go through in the AFC alone. Tennessee has Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. The Bills have Stephon Diggs and, I guess, Emmanuel Sanders. The Browns have Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. The Chiefs have Tyreek Hill and even Travis Kelce. So, like, all those teams have somebody that, like, you would want Gilmore for.
Right.
Every single one of them. So, I think, all right, maybe, like, it's hard to say with one player. Like, when the one player is not a quarterback in the grand scheme of things, it probably isn't a huge swing, right? They're going to go 10-7, or they're going to go 11-6, or they're going to go 9-8, whatever. But come playoff time, I just think their chances of advancing are so much better with Gilmore.
What it also intrigues me and has to be part of the conversation is how Bill Belichick looks at cornerbacks, right? So you go back to when they didn't have cornerbacks and they had to trade for Tlaib in the middle of the year, because we're like, oh, you know, it's like the Red Sox with Ortiz left. Oh, wait a second, we need a DH? What's going on?
Yeah.
And so they corrected themselves. They got Tlaib, they allocated, you know, a good, I forget what they traded Tlaib for, but mm-hmm. but they knew it was important. Then they go out and get Revis.
Yeah.
They understand the importance of this position. And then after Revis, they go out and get Gilmore. And by the way, why all of this is going on, they're making all these second-round picks on corners.
Right.
So it's
and
not,
you develop Malcolm Butler. You had a good one then.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like that you have a guy in Bill Belichick who doesn't understand the importance of a Stephon Gilmore, which is, you know, has to be part of the conversation, Rich, because there are positions, I think, that he's like, we can get by. We can get by. We can get quarterback, for instance.
Yeah, that part doesn't make a whole lot
kicker,
of sense.
Kicker as well.
They traded only a fourth-round pick for Aqib Talib. Isn't that crazy?
NFL trades are bizarre to me.
They overvalue these picks like crazy. They get the player.
I mean, you're right.
Going all the way back to Ty Law. Like, every good team has had a dominant corner.
Yeah.
Right? Like along the way. Like, that has been a very,
and,
very
and by
important
the way,
position.
You double down on it. Really, you doubled down on it multiple times after Tlaib.
Yeah.
Because you had Revis and Browner, right?
Oh, right.
Browner. You allocated whatever you did to Browner. Okay, you locked those guys down. And then with Gilmore, for the most part, you have Gilmore and Malcolm Butler,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
and then a million second-round picks. They were all busts, but they tried a million second-round picks. Like, so that was a very valuable position.
A ton of second-round picks.
Yeah.
You know, going back to Rozai Dowling.
Rozai Dowling, Duke Dawson, Cyrus Jones, some of my favorites. Like, all of those guys.
I mean, you won't wear a Seattle Kraken shirt, but you'll wear a Cyrus Jones shirt.
Over
it's
my
crazy.
Dead body, I wear a Seattle Kraken jersey. But, yeah, I mean, so clearly I don't think Bill wants to go into the year without Gilmore. Otherwise, he would have been traded a while ago. I think he's anticipating him being there. And it's just about, can they find that happy medium? And if he misses training camp, like, big deal. If he misses preseason games, big deal.
Right.
But if he starts, if it bleeds into the regular season, like,
but it is telling. It is telling, like you said. What's the win swing when it comes to Gilmore or without Gilmore? It's not that. But you raise a good point, Rich, about the if you do get to the point. Well, come playoff time. Is there going to be a come playoff time?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah. What do you think?
you know, I'm an optimist.
Are you? Yeah, that's good.
I listen because
there's the extra playoff team.
People say, "Well, do you root for this team?" Like, when I grew up in the area, I root for teams.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I root for this. Good for business or not good for business?
Really?
That is solely it.
The fandom has been sucked out of your soul.
Has absolutely been sucked out of it. So, you wrote, if you know people and you know they're good people, then maybe you'll root for them, you know, like whether athletes or whatever. But
what if they're bad people?
They're bad people, you root against them because they're bad people.
But what if they're running your favorite team?
Doesn't make a difference.
Got it.
They're rooting against bad people.
Mm. All right.
And so, but
you're rooting for, I'm rooting for a storyline. That's like a Dan Patrick line.
I do.
I'm rooting for the best storyline. Okay. Great.
I mean, what are you having in that voice? That's what we should be doing.
Just root for the teams that you like.
Why? Are you rooting for the Patriots to either really bad or really, really good?
Right.
Because 500 is boring.
Or a bunch of storylines.
But 500 is not a storyline. There's no
past, like you say, like you have that voice with rooting for the storylines. That's what we should, in this business,
it's
you should
sports.
Be.
You should be fans of teams.
Right, but you're we aren't in sports. We're in this business. We're in the business of media. We're rooting for storylines.
Yeah, we're a big media man breaking all these stories. Like you can
it's not media.
You can be a fan. It could be a fan perspective. It's not like what it used to be, where you're in there with your little notepad and you're writing things down for the press and getting stuff out of the paper.
When I say media, it's the exact opposite of wearing the fedora with the press pass in your hat.
Get the little pencil on there.
Right, so when I say media, you immediately jumps to the reporter with a notepad. I could be talking about someone putting stuff on TikTok.
Sure.
Like and you know what? That reporter on TikTok is rooting for storylines.
But he's also rooting for the team, I think.
You don't root for storylines in this business?
I think storylines come up, but I think I root for the team. I want the teams to win or the guys. Or like you said, bad guys. I root against LeBron all the time. Yeah, can't stand LeBron, so I'm rooting against him.
Okay.
But I like the Celtics, and I like the local sports teams. Call it crazy.
Okay. You know? So if you had a really, really boring, let's say, Patriots team, okay?
Okay. Which, by the way, they never have been. They have the craziest stories.
You know why? Because of storylines.
Storylines. And I'm always rooting for storylines.
Right.
I was like,
if you have Cam Newton, you're running the ball.
I was like, do I want Antonio Brown on the field or do I want him sending threatening text messages? What a storyline, the threatening text messages.
Yes.
Are. Yeah, for a day. I'd rather have him play football.
Well, what are you going to do? You get to talk about the 3 yards and the cloud of dust, that 17-3 game?
The Wells report was a story. Love that.
Oh, my God. But perfect.
That was awful. That is a perfect example.
Perfect example. Deflategate was like stealing
awful.
Money in this business.
No, but it was awful.
Why? It was great.
Reading 300-page Wells report and find out about when it's cold outside, the tires of my car deflate. That was the worst year of talk ever.
Well, you know what ratings were for because
was
of Deflategate?
Was it enjoyable? Did you like talking about Deflategate?
No.
Okay, then that's all I'm saying. It was awful.
Okay, but do we have jobs in
because
this business?
Of Deflategate. Yeah, I have a job because of Deflategate. If it wasn't for Deflategate, who knows where I'd be?
Well, I mean, did
thank you?
Was it good?
Dorito Dink.
Was it good for business that Dorito Dink existed?
Yeah, probably. But that's my point. Is I don't want to have to do another one of those, another one of these gates. They're horrible.
Well, there's something to talk about. Okay, I mean, we don't have to talk about my colonoscopy.
Well, that was a decent story up until the end.
Interesting segment, to be honest.
Yeah, that was actually
that's true. Real bad ending. That's a bad example.
You don't want more Mount Rushmores of meat?
Well, that actually
that's another bad example. We can talk about that all the live long
exactly.
day.
No, that I like too.
Anyway, all right.
Well, speaking of Twitter, here's a storyline. Because you know what? You can also create your own storylines, Bradford. Nice. You can think about that. I had a very harmless tweet, or so I thought, about wide receivers on the Patriots. And let's just say Patriots fans were unhappy with
See,
that.
I like
they
that.
Were, they were running
I
a
like
lot.
That.
So we'll get to that coming up. But first, here's Chris Schein with What's Trending.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
Back here on Gresh and Keith Sports Radio, WEEI. Gresh off today. Rob Bradford is in.
Yeah.
And last Friday, just a harmless tweet I put out there. We were talking about Patriots receivers at one point. So I put out what my official depth chart would be. And it was wide receiver 1, empty. Wide receiver 2, empty. Wide receiver 3, Nelson Agholor, Jacoby Myers. Wide receiver 4, Kendrick Bourne.
Okay.
5, Gunner.
Very exciting.
And then on the bottom, N'Keal Harry.
Very exciting.
And I think a lot of people agreed with me. And they're like, you know, witty observation. And yeah, I agree. But some of the people, very upset.
Why?
Because they think I'm not giving Nelson Agholor or Jacoby Myers or even some cases Kendrick Bourne enough love. They're like, so apparently you don't think those guys are top 50 receivers in the league? I'm like, correct. No, I don't. They're like, well, Jakobi Meyers' second half numbers are blah, 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 blah. Nelson Agholor had like 800 yards with the Raiders. I'm like, okay. Do either of those guys strike? And then people are like, what are you saying? They can't win? I'm like, no, never said that. Just don't think, even with their offseason spending, they have legitimate number one receivers. Can you win without a number one receiver? Sure. The Patriots have in the past. I just don't think they're just wide receivers are very good. Where do you stand on that?
So there's no question they're deeper because they got those guys.
Correct.
Jakobi Meyers is still their best receiver. And people, probably, I think people are sleeping on Jakobi Meyers. And still, I'm not going to say he's a one, maybe a two.
Like, maybe it, like, so maybe, that's where the argument is maybe a two, but I'm like, all right.
So here's the question you have to ask is that you need to get the ball, you need to get the ball downfield. Your go-to guys. Like, we all have seen the go-to guys here. Gronk and Edelman being at the top of the list. Who is the go-to guys? Who's the guy that you know is going to get open?
I think it's the two tight ends.
It is.
That's what I think.
It is right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, okay, God bless you. Good luck getting 20 yards downfield with the tight ends.
But also, it's one of those, it's kind of a semantical argument, too. And I know I've had this conversation with Andy Hart a lot, that just because you're a team's number one corner or number one wide receiver, it doesn't mean
you're
a
top 50. Right.
Right. Like, so there aren't, it doesn't mean there are 32 number one receivers in the league or guys that you would put up there. There might be 15 of those guys. And then there's sort of a drop off. And then you're like, all right, on a good team or on a good receiving depth chart, maybe he'd be a little bit lower.
Well, I don't have time to do this exercise now, Rich.
Oh, boy.
But if I was going to spend 4 hours doing an exercise of anything, it would basically going through the receivers of every team. Every team has a better receiver, number one receiver than the Patriots, is my guess.
Yes.
Every single one.
Correct.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's
is that correct?
31, right? Real quick.
You actually are someone who strikes me as you going through this exercise.
Yeah, I mean.
As a compliment.
Oh, well, is it?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sort of.
It doesn't seem like okay.
It's a compliment.
All right.
It's like that you actually look into this
but
stuff.
You know the receivers, and I would say it's not even that outrageous to suggest that
you
those
absolutely
guys
weren't paying attention back there, were you?
I was trying to do research for the show, so I things. Missed the question.
But and we talked about this from a fantasy angle last week, so forget the fantasy part of it, because obviously that brings in teams' quarterbacks and teams' offenses and everything else. But just in a vacuum of the wide receivers in the league, like Agholor and Meyers are probably fringe top 50, 60, right?
Yeah, they're not even close to being top-end receivers. Like, you could put them on just about any other team in the league, and they wouldn't be the number one guy, let alone a lot of teams, they wouldn't even be the number two guy.
This isn't...
People had some mean things to say about it, too.
I know.
They had some really mean things
sorry.
On Twitter to say, and I was like, geez, I'm just
don't take it to heart, Rich.
One guy said he was going to do something to me, which...
Really?
Let's just say Odell Beckham Jr. would like...
Oh, really?
Leave it at that.
Really? Oh,
wow. You're
going to go to that extent.
He said if I slander Nelson Agholor one more time, he's going to do that.
Wow.
I was like, you bully.
What is I mean,
I don't know why you're
we aren't even saying that the Patriots are in the power ranking of receivers has the worst group.
Right.
They're close.
But the more damning thing, if you want to have this conversation, is you cannot find a team who has a worse number one than the Patriots.
Correct.
Right.
Just wide receiver. And again, doesn't...
Maybe the Jets.
So what do they got? Corey Davis?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess Corey Davis
is
there now. Yeah, he's probably better.
Keep him coming. Keep him coming. Let's
go. And they drafted... well, who knows if he'll be any good. Elijah Moore. But we'll see. Denzel Mims.
Oh, the Lions. They do not... They barely have a number three receiver. Their best receiver might be Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is a rookie out of USC, and he's 5'8".
Did you see the 60 Minutes on the St. Brown family?
I did not, but wasn't his father like a Mr. Olympia or something?
So their name isn't St. Brown. It is Brown, and the father wanted the kids to stand out because he wanted to be like notable athletes, so they made him St. Brown.
That's interesting.
It does stand out.
I think their leading receiver going into the year is like Quintez Cephas.
Yeah, they do have Quintez Cephas. They also, according to this, have Tyrell Williams, who's not bad.
I'd rather have Jakobi Meyers than Tyrell Williams.
Rashawn Perryman.
Rather have Jakobi Meyers.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Khalif Raymond? I don't even know who that
is.
So
that's the one team.
Khalif Raymond, I'm pretty sure, actually had a couple really good games for Tennessee last year.
I don't remember him at all. Oh, okay.
I think he was on the Titans.
Yes, yeah, so that's a bad one. But that might be it. So there's 32 teams in the NFL.
Williams?
Yeah. But even then, I mean, I guess
the Raiders? I mean, they only have Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, but he's Henry Ruggs. That's what we're talking about.
I mean, but Henry Ruggs wasn't that good last year.
Yeah, Willie Snead. They got John Brown.
Willie Snead.
Hunter Renfrow. Brian
Come
Edwards.
On.
You like these guys?
Come on, Rich.
But it's just, but still, I would rather have Henry Ruggs, I think. Just the uptick of that.
I guess
he's so
maybe.
Fast. He's so fast.
Good for him. So is Darius Hayward Bay.
Can't catch him. I know.
That didn't work out great either, did it?
Drafted a little high.
So was Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, but then
he got drafted ahead of Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb.
And Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
No, it was an idiotic draft pick. I'm not suggesting that it wasn't. But the problem is, all right, so even if they're 30th with the number one thing, then you go to teams like Denver who have Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick. So there's like three guys that you like better than your number one. So it pushes those guys
or
way
even
down.
Like Cincinnati, who also has three guys. Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase.
I mean, if we talk about who they're going to go to when the chips are down, well, we know the answer because we've seen Cam Newton, assuming Cam Newton's a quarterback.
He'll just run it.
Well,
he'll tuck it and run.
He'll look right, he'll look left, and they'll throw it in the ground.
Right.
But the person who will be there while he's throwing in the ground 5 feet in back of the ball is going to be Jacoby Myers. That was his guy, right?
And
other than the Seattle game, which it was Julian Edelman.
And I like Jacoby Myers. But again, I
wish he would lift a little bit more. It makes me uncomfortable how skinny he is.
Yeah, very slight. Actually might be their best quarterback, too. There's a chance he's their best quarterback.
there you go.
A Swiss Army knife type of player. But yeah, it's not a strength. It doesn't have to be, because then I was getting all these comments like, they had David Givens and Dave Patton, and they won a Super Bowl. I'm like, okay.
I saw Troy Brown.
That was forever ago. They also had Troy Brown.
And Deion Branch.
But they had Corey Dillon leading the league in rushing, I think, in that year.
They had Tom Brady, not Cam Newton.
And
that's another good point by you.
That helps.
I mean, that's kind of, I think
that's the other
trumps
problem.
Everything.
That's what I think is also going to be sort of a rude awakening for somebody like Nelson Agholor, who last year, in a contract year, had a career year, but he also had Derek Carr throwing on the ball. And so now he's going to get here, and here comes Cam Newton. You're like, oh. Also, we've been reading about a lot of drops that Agholor had, shockingly.
Did we need this camp?
Minicamp?
I know. Did we need this camp to like know that he dropped balls?
No, but maybe somebody's like, that's out of it. That's out of his system. No, it's not.
My man's throwing babies out the window. We was catching, unlike Agholor.
So, yeah, that's the way to go.
I like the old out of his system argument when you acquire a guy.
Get rid of those drops. Get the old drops.
You know, and that's one of my biggest pet peeves of like the Red Sox do this. Like, okay, you know, we project this guy. We project that guy. We project this guy because, you know, we're going to tie ourselves into knots. You know what? Like, the Celtics did it as well. You know, I think what's going to happen with Jeff Teague, I think Tristan Thompson, he's going to be the influence.
Romeo Langford. The best one.
Well,
Romeo Langford actually projects to be, you're like, okay.
Yeah. So don't give me, like, Agholor is what he is. How old is he? Like, 42 now?
That's a little strong, I think.
But he's been around for a while.
He's got to be close to 30, right?
Yeah. So
Nelson Agholor is 28.
Yeah, he's
he's doing all right.
How many years has he been in the league? Like seven?
Probably six.
Six? Yeah, whatever. Six. We know what he is now.
Yeah, five with Philly and last year with
you acquired Nelson Agholor.
Correct.
Congratulations.
And people are like, what an offseason.
It is what
it is. Because they got all lumped in together because they signed Henry and Smith and Judon all on the first day, and then they sneak in these two receivers, and we're like, all right, everything's better across the board. I'm like, well, let's just hold on a second.
Okay. Nelson Agholor.
Aren't much better.
So here's the question to you, Rich. At the trade deadline, are we pounding the table, as we have in years past, for them getting a wide receiver?
If it's still Cam Newton, we won't be because
we've given up hope.
Well, no, I think they'll be winning with the running game. They'll be winning with defense. They'll be winning with like passes to the tight ends. But if they turn it over to Mac Jones, they start to throw it more and Aguilar's dropping passes or whatever, then yeah. I think it depends on what the offense looks
like.
Okay.
That's a good caveat.
It's a both. But it is answering it. If it's Cam Newton, and I think it will be Cam Newton. I think it'll be him all year because Bill loves him. And they're going to win enough to justify him staying.
Well, okay, here's a question. If those guys, if Cam Newton and Mac Jones perform, let's say that Mac Jones looks slightly better than Cam Newton in the preseason, who starts the first game?
Cam Newton. Cam Newton starts.
I probably agree with you.
No matter what
if
Cam, unless he's hurt.
Cam Newton is horrific in the preseason.
He's a gamer, though. He's a regular season.
He's a captain. Is he still
a
captain?
Like Jimmy G.
Yeah, he'll definitely be a captain. He was a captain year one with the team.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I mean. But,
he'll be a captain.
If he lost his captainship by stinking. No?
You
can't do that?
I don't think it's happened.
No? Not going to happen. Cam Newton starting week one.
Really?
Barring injury, Cam Newton is starting week one.
Without, no matter what. He could be terrible. He could look like Tim Tebow did.
As the betting man on this show, I would put a large amount of money on the fact Cam Newton is starting week one.
Really?
Yep. Barring injury, of course.
All in.
Barring injury.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
Well, big news this weekend, as not only did the NBA Finals continue, but Space Jam, A New Legacy, the LeBron James vehicle, hit theaters and HBO Max, and the reviews are in.
Oh, really?
So we'll read some of the reviews for the new Space Jam movie coming up next.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. Alright.
Alright, approaching 1 o'clock here on Gresh and Keefe. No Gresh today, Rob Bradford is in. Bradfo, did you see the new Space Jam movie, which came out this weekend?
It's on my list.
Space Jam, A New
Legacy.
Have
you been to a theater yet?
No. Everything's been released at home that I've wanted to see, pretty much. I've seen a million movies.
Will you go back to a theater?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
But if you're going to give me the choice to also watch it at home, I'll just watch it at home.
Yeah, I'm not. I used to be a huge movie guy.
Yeah.
Big theater guy. And I'm not like, nah. I mean,
I will. Probably in the fall, there's going to be some that I want to see that won't have the home release option. Like Black Widow, I just paid for at home and watched it at home.
I'm also seduced by the World War II in color Netflix documentary. So
really?
Yeah, I mean.
So that's kind of taking up a lot of your time.
That keeps me home. Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, I've not seen Space Jam. I do not want to watch it. It's a LeBron James vehicle. And so I'm like, I just can't do it. Even though it's on HBO Max, it's free for people that subscribe to HBO Max. But the reviews are in.
Really?
And 32% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, doctor.
Which seems kind of high. But here are what some of the people are saying about Space Jam. All right, review number one. I've never seen anything like it. I also hope to never see anything like it again. And I wish I could unsee what I have seen. That's from Richard Roper of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's roasted.
Yep, Richard Roper.
He's the top of the top of the food chain for movie critics, right?
I believe he took over for Siskel, right?
Yes.
When rest in peace.
Another good
documentary. Oh, that was Ebert and Roper, right? That guy?
Well, because it used to be Siskel and Ebert. That was like the go-to thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah, so this is a big guy here.
Yeah.
And he says crap.
Wow, and that's strong.
Yeah. Feels like it was directed not by a person, but a committee of people that followed algorithms about what was appealing to modern audiences. That's from Felix Vasquez of Cinema Crazed.
Boom! Roasted!
Sadly, Space Jam, A New Legacy is a mostly cold and cynical advert for the studio. Jordan gets replaced with a new basketball legend, LeBron James, which sounds like a decent trade, but his wooden performance is one of the main issues here.
Oh, look at
Amelia Harvey, framed rated.
Look at the smile on Keith's face.
Oh, I mean, I just
this is like Joe Castiglione talking about
he hasn't
about
been
the
this happy
losing.
In a long time.
Oh, my just reading what the reviews are.
So
I'm sorry.
Happy.
This is what all the reviews were. There are six writers on this film, and not one of them can muster up anything inventive or funny for the Toon Squad to do, let alone anything that's actually in character. Matthew Turner, Hero Collector.
Boom, roasted.
Never heard of that site, but I'm sure it's good.
I like him now.
Here's the thing about basketball. It is extremely watchable. Here's the thing about Space Jam, A New Legacy. It's not. Mary Solosi, Entertainment Weekly.
Boom, roasted.
It's hard to hate a movie featuring Bob the Goon, but Space Jam 2 did it. This two-hour journey about being yourself and accepting others for who they are is not only incredibly dumb, but one that looks to get by blasting you in the face, neck, and chest with Easter eggs. That's Goo from the Mac and Goo podcast.
Boom, roasted.
More crass than charming, this ill-conceived reboot is so overstuffed with self-promotion, both for its star and its studio, that you practically expect QR codes to pop up in the corner of the screen. Todd
Boom.
Jergensen,
roasted.
CinemaLog. No one seems to be in on the joke, especially LeBron.
Look at how happy
Sean
he is.
Sean Price, the spool.
Boom, roasted.
I'll have to check out the spool going forward here.
That sounds like a great spot.
After 25 years of looking forward to the Space Jam sequel,
really?
We instead got ugly effects, crass corporate synergy, and 2 hours of LeBron James learning what an algorithm is. Kevin Fallon, The Daily Beast.
Boom, roasted.
I felt like I was watching a feature-length advertisement. Jeremy Johns from jeremyjohns.com.
Boom, roasted.
Rich Keefe from richkeefe.com.
Yeah, yeah. In the pantheon of misguided sequels and reboots, A New Legacy is right up there with Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 and Little Fockers.
Okay. Little Flockers, that's not doing it justice. That was okay.
No, it wasn't. You're thinking of Meet Them. That was actually the third in the series.
Okay. I think Okay.
Make no mistake, Space Jam, A New Legacy is painful to watch. From Rob Dean, Bullseye.com.
Boom, roasted.
And the last one I have, unfathomably unnecessary in every regard and devoid of anything that would normally tether an audience. Moreover, I found it laughable that even in a fantasy children's movie, LeBron James still manages to only give people the time of day when he considers them useful, including his own child. For somebody who says he doesn't play into Jordan comparisons, James's motivations in doing this was incredibly clear from the start. 1 out of 6 stones from Ryan Davey of the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
I was going to say, thank you. That's the only one that matters.
That, you brought
the
that one
only
right back
one
in.
That matters.
Well, he has two kids, so they wanted to watch it. So he watched it this weekend, and there's his review. So LeBron James, not as good of a basketball player as Michael Jordan, not as good of an actor as Michael Jordan.
They're going to make money off of it, right?
They made $30 million.
All right.
Opening weekend, which I guess
First of all,
thing is pretty good.
Kids' movies are like stealing money, you know, because parents, they just want to take the 2-hour nap. Kids, go get them. And the parents like the first one. They're like, hey, kids, you're going to love this. It's like when I showed my kid Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
He didn't love it as much. Yeah, no, this one apparently is bad, and I guess all they did was like shoehorn every character that they own the rights to, even characters that were from like A Clockwork Orange, which is not a kids movie. I don't know if you've seen Clockwork Orange.
When is the
kids movie?
The toothpick holding open the eyelids. No,
that's the only way to watch this movie. Evidently. Yeah, I don't know.
Shime, can you write a review so we can have like WEEI.com as like
two-word review for you, Rob Bradford. No. We can post this on the WEEI Twitter page. Ready?
Yeah.
Don't watch.
Oh, I thought you were going to say poop sandwich. Okay.
I would have, but I didn't want to swear on the air. Okay, you know, I don't want to pull a John.
There you go.
Well, there you go. There's the latest.
Look at you're
song,
so though. Happy.
That's so, made my
you're
day.
So happy.
This idiot sitting courtside rooting on Chris Paul loses. Oh, I love
Brings
it.
In his own tequila.
Bringing his own tequila where he couldn't afford the tequila there.
Did you see Uncle Drew?
You know what? No, I didn't see that either.
I tried watching that like 3 times and
I couldn't get through it.
I couldn't like get through like 10 minutes of it.
Best
so bad.
Best athlete turned actor performance.
Why they're playing? Oh, this is easy. Easy. Why they're playing? Yes. Has to be why
Shaq and Blue Chips. Probably Shaq and
Penny. And Kazam.
Shaq and Penny and Blue Chips.
Well, that's where he recruited Penny to play for Orlando, right? On the set.
Well, he got drafted by...
No, well, I mean, but he wanted to play... They
thought they were already teammates.
No.
93? Oh, no, no,
they traded for him. Okay. They traded for him. Anyway.
Well, draft night.
Yes, but Shaq was basically pounding the table because he met him at Blue Chips. Anyway, the best one, not even close... Is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane?
Yeah.
Not even good close.
He was also good in Basketball.
He was also good in one of the most recent episodes of the TV show Dave.
Yeah, Kareem was great that episode. Poor guy's leg.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Great. All right, one final hour of the program left. We'll turn our attention back to the Red Sox, who lost their third straight series. Is there... A little bit of concern.
Biggest
here
game
the
of the year tonight.
A huge monster game tonight for Pavetta. We'll get into that.
Who thought? In Buffalo, who thought?